This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Now, the airwaves are filled with talk about fat and fitness, obesity and disease. There are commercials, there are diets, and guess what? We're going to talk a little bit more about it today because there's news. Two studies out this week in the Journal of the American Medical Association focus on the connection between disease, obesity, and fitness in women. This case, these two cases are about women. Now, one study looked at heart disease and found that activity level for fitness was more important than weight as a risk factor for heart disease. The other study looked at women and their risk for developing diabetes. And these researchers found that this time weight was more important than fitness as a risk factor for developing diabetes. So what's going on? Is weight more important? Activity level? What about the other risk factors such as smoking, high blood pressure, high cholesterol? Joining me now to sort out for us all these factors is one of the lead authors of the diabetes paper. Dr. Michael Gaziano is the director of the division. He's the chief of the division of aging at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. He's also director of the Maverick Research Center at the Veterans Administration in Boston. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Gaziano.
Thank you.
Seems a little bit, you know, a little disconcerting to figure out which is which. So let's talk about each one of them, the two studies in JAMA this week, between physical activity, weight, and health in women. Let's talk about the one you were involved with, looking at women and two types of diabetes. What did you find?
What we found was that among those who were in the heaviest categories, that additional benefits of activity were relatively small compared to the risk conferred by obesity for the outcome of diabetes in a healthy population of women.
So this meant that the weight was more important.
Yeah, if you were obese, you were 10 times more likely to get diabetes than the people who were normal weight. And on the other hand, if you were physically fit, it reduced your risk statistically significantly, but by about 20%.
So the obesity far outweighed the fitness.
Exactly.
What is the definition of obesity in this study? How much overweight?
Well, in this study, we divided the group into three categories of normal weight, overweight, and obese based on World Health Organization criteria. We use a measure called the body mass index, which is the weight in kilograms divided by the height squared. It's a way of sort of normalizing the weight to someone's height. So if your BMI was 25 to 30, you're considered overweight. Over 30, you're considered obese.
1-800-989-8255 is our number if you'd like to talk about this. 1-800-989-TALK. Talking with Dr. Michael Gaziano. Now let's talk about the second study. The other study in JAMA this week looked at physical fitness and this body mass index in women with coronary artery disease, but this showed sort of the opposite, didn't it?
It showed that exercise was very important, but the weight didn't seem to be as important for the outcome of cardiovascular disease.
So it is possible to be overweight and physically fit at the same time?
Well, I think what's important is to remember that these studies were each focusing sort of on the physiologic process of the cause of a given disease.
Right.
And when we're talking about obesity or physical fitness, we have to talk, particularly when we're talking to a patient or the general population, we're talking about their general health. And we should never forget that both weight and physical fitness are very important when we consider all the causes, all the outcomes of ill health.
So you would say, as what is normally said, that it's much better to be physically fit than to be overweight.
What I would say is it's advantageous to be of normal weight and physically fit.
Normal weight. Now, these studies looked at women. Anything here for take home for men in this at all?
Well, what we know from the literature is that these are very important, both obesity and physical inactivity are important predictors of chronic diseases, both diabetes and cardiovascular disease in men as well. And I would be surprised if we didn't see similar findings in men.
Does it lower your risk? And if it does, how much if you're overweight, if you do at least some of the regular physical activity?
Well, again, it depends on what outcome you're talking about. Remember, one difference in this study was that in the patients that were included in the cardiovascular study, those were people who had chest pain and who were sent to the cath lab for cardiovascular disease. And in those people, we have another paper coming out in a couple of months in archives that showed that weight, once you have disease, seems to take on a different amount of predictive value. The other study was a healthy group of individuals, and in predicting subsequent disease, and in this case we've done further analyses looking at cardiovascular disease, showing that weight, both weight and physical activity, are important in the early stages of the disease.
Mm-hmm. Oh, while I have you here, I know you're a cardiologist, and I've got to ask you a cardiology question. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
And specifically about Bill Clinton, who is recovering from this quadruple bypass. And he told Larry King, you know, right after his surgery, that he had passed his stress tests with flying colors. Now, isn't the stress test supposed to show something wrong? How does that happen?
Well, the development of a severe blockage can occur rather abruptly. Now, he had extensive disease that developed over many years, and he might have been fairly physically fit. And if a test several months ago might not have shown up a severe blockage, it's quite possible that the symptoms that he was having in the weeks before he went into the hospital may have been the result of what we call a plaque rupture. And then, given all the other blockages that he had, caused the process to manifest itself.
So it could be that he was physically fit because he did a lot of jogging and exercise, and he had dropped his weight, and that might allow, you know, him to pass the stress test?
Yeah, if well conditioned. Yeah. He's going to go further on the stress test, which is an important marker. He had again, we can't focus on a single risk factor. He had some other risk factors. Yeah. My understanding is his cholesterol was actually quite elevated, and then he had stopped taking his cholesterol medications. That certainly didn't help the situation.
Yeah. Let's go back to talking about the studies here that we can speak from personal experience without just trying to speculate what happened with the president. Now, the prevalence of diabetes and obesity doubled in the 1990s. Is that just in women?
No, it's really across the board. We are in the midst of an epidemic of obesity, and then a lot of the illnesses that are related to it, like diabetes and high blood pressure, and we may even be seeing some increases in certain kinds of cardiovascular diseases. We have seen dramatic declines in cardiovascular disease over a number of decades, and it's quite possible we might be on the verge of reversing that trend. And I think it's due in a great deal to the declining activity that we get on a daily basis. Nobody walks to work anymore. We all commute and we sit in our cars for 45 minutes.
We sit in front of our PCs now.
We sit in front of our PCs.
Yeah, just.
And then we have available concentrated calories just about everywhere you look.
Right. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-989-8255. Michelle in Syracuse. Hi, Michelle.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
This is a great topic, and I want to say that what you guys are talking about has a direct correlation with what people can afford to buy as food goes. Because I've been on a diet for the last 3 months, and I've lost 30 pounds, but it's been buying fresh fruits and vegetables as opposed to buying more cheaper, inexpensive foods that are high in fat and high fructose corn syrup. This stuff is everywhere.
What kind of diet are you on?
It's basically a very common sense diet. Eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. Take it easy on the breads, the grains, and the dairy products. And the key thing is drink water and get lots of exercise.
Well, you're the poster woman for dieting, I think.
Oh,
healthy eating, I think.
Well, there's like
I've turned it into like mental and physical foods.
And so you didn't have to go on any of the special diets. You just used something from each one of them.
Well, that's a little.
And both of my parents had diabetes. They were both obese. I'm 5'1" and I weighed 228 pounds. And I've reached my first goal of being under 200 in a long time.
Dr. Gaziano?
There's a couple things I like about what she said. One was she used a common sense approach, and it's my hope, since she didn't go on a what I would call a fad diet, that she's making some changes that she might stick with for the rest of her life.
Exactly.
The second thing I really liked was that she combined exercise with it, and I think there's a real misconception in the general population that we can solve our weight problems by manipulating our diet
or a magic pill
as a one-time intervention. We really need to add activity. Activity is so important.
It really is. I've noticed a difference in my nails and in my skin. I have more energy than I've had in a long time.
How much exercise are you doing?
I'm trying to get out and at least jog and walk very fast at least 5 times a week for 45 minutes or more.
Dr. Gaziano, good plan. What's a minimum people should be doing?
It's a very good plan. What we recommend is what the Surgeon General recommends, which is 30 minutes or more most days of the week, 5 or more days a week. The more the better.
Exactly.
Well, good luck, Michelle. Good luck. Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
And so she's been doing that on her own, she discovered.
Yeah, well, I think with a little bit of encouragement, the average person can do quite a bit on their own. Doesn't need to be an expensive program.
But the important thing is to get that weight off and to do it by just sensibly eating and doing 30 minutes a day.
Yeah, and then the second part is maintaining it, and that's going to be, you know, hopefully what she'll do is she'll stick with the habits that she's developed during this period of weight loss and stick with the exercise regime and maintain her weight for the rest of her life.
1-800-989-8255. I think we have time for Denise in Portland. Hi, Denise.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I recently heard of a study. It was a worldwide study that came out. It's the biggest of its kind so far, analyzing risk factors for heart disease. Cholesterol ratios were found to be one of the highest risk factors, as well as, of course, sedentary lifestyle and stress levels. So I was wondering if you could comment on stress levels affecting heart disease.
If you hang around for the next rest of the hour, the rest of our hour is going to be about stress.
Oh, okay,
so
perfect.
Stay with us, but I'll let Dr. Gaziano comment on it.
Well, what I will say is that risk factors around the world of all kinds are rising, and it's part and parcel of this westernization of the lifestyle with lower activity, high concentrated calorie diets, and various elements of the lifestyle. The importance of stress is not entirely clear in cardiovascular disease, and so I look forward to the discussion that goes on following ours.
But high cholesterol level is important, right?
Oh, high cholesterol is a very important predictor.
And lots of these new statins and other drugs are out now to bring them down.
And they're very effective. It's my hope that and this is what I sort of preach to my prevention patients at the VA, is that we can do things to prevent the need for the medications, but they're very effective in the patients who need them.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for taking time to talk with us.
It was my pleasure.
Any new studies coming up we should watch for?
Well, we have many more along the same lines. We do have this paper looking at obesity after people have a heart attack that will be coming out in a couple of months.
Oh, good news there?
More of the same.
More of the same. Okay. So your advice certainly is not going to switch then?
No. The recommendations won't change.
It says get rid of that weight and get some exercise.
Yeah, exercise we view as one of your most important medications.
All right. Thank you very much for taking time to talk with us. Dr. Michael Gaziano is the chief of the Division of Aging at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. He's also director of the Maverick Research Center at the Veterans Administration in Boston. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about stress, as I said. We're going to talk with the author of Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. I guess they don't. And that's Robert Sapolsky. He'll be here with us talking about, you know, animals are under stress all the time. You don't see an animal with an ulcer. How come people get one? You know? It's an interesting topic. How to relieve that stress, what to do about it, why some people get it, some people don't. Stick around, we'll be right back.